Chapter 46. I padded downstairs barefoot, wearing only my pants. I took the call alone in the back office behind the reception counter, as before. It was Carla Dixon on the line, my old colleague, the financial wizard. She had been a founding member of the original 110th Special Unit, my second pick after Francis Nagley. I guessed Stan Lowry had passed on my question about money from Kosovo, and Dixon was calling back direct to save time. I asked, "Why did you have to say you were my fiancé?" She asked back,
"Why? Did I interrupt something?"
Not exactly, but she heard.
"Elizabeth Devereaux. Nagley told us about her. You two are getting it on already?"
"And now I've got some explaining to do."
"You need to take care there, Reacher."
"Nagley always thinks that."
"This time she's right. The sergeant's network is all lit up, red hot. Devereaux was being checked out, big time."
"I know that," I said. "Garber already told me. Waste of time."
"I don't think so." It all suddenly went quiet.
"Because there's nothing there."
"No, because there is. You know how bureaucracy works. It's easy to say no. Silence means yes."
"What would they find if they checked you out?"
"Plenty."
"Or me?"
"I hate to think."
"So there you go," I said. "Nothing to worry about."
"Believe me, there's something wrong there, Reacher. I mean it. Maybe something real big. My advice would be to stay away from her."
"Too late for that. I don't buy it anyway. She was a good little jarhead."
"Who told you that?"
"She did." Silence on the line. I said, "What else?"
Dixon said, "There's no money coming out of Kosovo. None at all. Whoever's worrying about that is on a wild goose chase. It's not a factor."
"You sure?"
"Completely."
"They're wondering if Joe is telling me anything."
"Wild goose chase," she said again. "Treasury wouldn't know anyway, unless it was billions and billions, which it isn't. It isn't even dollars and cents. It's nothing. Someone's panicking, that's all. They're thrashing around. They're looking for something that isn't there."
"Okay. Good to know," I said. "Thanks."
"That was the good news," she said.
"What's the bad news?"
"Related information," she said. "A friend of a friend got into the Kosovo files, and they're plenty thick right now."
"With what?"
"Among other things, two local women disappeared without a trace."
Dixon told me that over the last year, two Kosovan women had simply vanished. There was no local explanation, no family troubles. Both were unmarried. Both had been within range of the U.S. Army's local footprint. Both had fraternized.
"Girlfriend material," Dixon said.
"Good-looking?" I asked.
"I didn't see photographs."
I asked, "Was there an investigation?"
"Under the radar," Dixon said. "We're not there at all, remember, as far as the rest of the world is concerned. So they flew a guy in from Germany, supposedly on his way to Italy for some NATO crap, but Kosovo was the real destination. The travel arrangements are still on file."
"And?"
"As a patriotic American, you'll be glad to hear that every last member of the U.S. Armed Forces was as innocent as a newborn baby. No crimes were committed by anyone in uniform."
"So the case was closed?"
"Tighter than a trout's asshole."
"Who was the investigator?"
"Major Duncan Monroe."
I finished the call with Dixon and went back upstairs. Devereaux wasn't in my room. I padded back to hers and found the door locked. I heard the shower running. I knocked, but got no response. So I showered and dressed and went back 15 minutes later and found nothing but silence. I walked up to the diner, but she wasn't there either. Her car was not in the department lot. So I just stood there on the sidewalk with nowhere to go and no one to talk to and nothing to do, completely unaware that the hour that would change everything had just ticked down from 60 minutes to 59.